Our psalm meditation today is in Psalm 119, verses 145 through 152. It is the letter Kof. Psalm 119, verses 145 through 152. God, through the psalmist, writes, "I cry out with my whole heart, hear me, O Jehovah. I will keep your statutes. I cry out to you, save me, and I will keep your testimonies. I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness. O Lord, revive me according to your justice. They draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever." This portion of Psalm 119 has every single verse starting with the letter Kof. Now that's different from Kaf. The one Kaf that we looked at weeks ago is the K equivalent. This portion is the Q equivalent. Now we pronounce K and Q the same, but really they're not quite the same in many languages. And so here I'm giving you a little philology lesson, children, that you can probably forget and not even worry about. But in most languages, if you've got a differentiation here, K is more up in the front of your mouth going K, but Q is back in your throat, like that. Do you hear the difference? Now, we usually do Q with the letter U after. It's very, very uncommon for us to use a Q without a U. So the way we use it usually sounds like qua. But in any case, that's not how the Hebrews did it. As we look at this psalm, it was interesting to see that verses 145 and 146 start out with the same, not just letter, but word that we have translated there as I cry. We have two words for the one Hebrew word, I cry. We have something similar in verse 147, I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. In the English, it translates much the same, but it's different, a different word in the Hebrew. There in verse 147 from verses 145 and 146. And the one in verse 147 means I really am calling. I really am crying out to someone. Yelling, pleading. Whereas the others is more like I'm asking kind of hard. So you see there's some progression here. Now when we look at this portion of Psalm 119, what may well come to mind, and it's a very suitable thing to come to mind, is our Lord Jesus Christ. We might think of him all night in prayer before choosing out from the many disciples that were following him, 12. 11 to be most of the foundation of the New Testament form of the church, and one who was foreordained to betray him. Or we might think of him the night after he had fed the 5,000, when he sent the 12 on beyond, out in a ship, rowing across the Sea of Galilee, heading into a storm, while he stayed there and prayed through much of the night. And you remember the story. The guys were making very little headway. They were very, very frustrated, and all of a sudden they see Jesus walking on the water and right past them. And you remember they were frightened, and Jesus said, "Don't be scared, it's just I." And Peter said, "Really? If it is, you let me, or you tell me to come out on the water." Jesus said, "Okay, come on." And that's what Peter did. And as long as he was looking to Jesus, he walked on the water. But when he looked away at the waves, Well, children, as I've told you before, blub, 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 and Jesus had to pull him up. Or we might think of our Lord Jesus praying with strong cries in the Garden of Gethsemane the night of his betrayal. Words such as we find right here in section Kof, verses 145 through 152, may well have been the words of Jesus' own heart. Have you ever wondered, what did Jesus think sometimes? Well, these would be some words that doubtless came to mind. He was crying out with his whole heart, crying out to his Father that he might be heard. And of course, he kept God's statutes all the way along, perfectly and perpetually, as I've said so very often. He repeats, and we know that in Hebrew, when you repeat something, it's for emphasis. And so he cries out to Jehovah alone, save me and I will keep your testimonies. We think of Jesus praying through the night. And here he says, I rise before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. It's a good example for us too. You know, many people as they grow older, they have trouble sleeping sometimes. And it's often the case that I wake up at 3, 4 in the morning. And it's about an hour and a half before I can get back to sleep. A profitable use of that time while lying in the dark, trying not to wake up Mrs. Popper's children, is praying. Praying for all sorts of things. Praising God, giving thanks, praying for others, using maybe the pattern of the Lord's Prayer. Our Lord Jesus did this before every important thing. And we could, I know this is kind of hackneyed, but we can say this. If the perfect Son of God, God in the flesh, saw the need to commune with his Heavenly Father in prayer, what makes you think that you can leave it off? Well then, he continues to cry there, and well, we saw that already in verse 147. And he does so in hope. It's not in despair. We see in Hebrews 11, verse 11, that those who are seeking God and seeking to have him answer prayer must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, knew all this, and in hope, of course, then he prayed. His eyes were awake through the night watches, that he might meditate on your word. This is another useful thing to do if you're like me, an old guy, and you are stuck awake. Meditate on the promises in God's word, or meditate on other portions of God's word as well. All this is time profitably spent while you're staring into the dark. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord. Revive me according to your justice. God will bring justice to and through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was revived. He was brought to resurrection because he had paid the ultimate price for the sins of his people. He paid them entirely. That's why he said, on the afternoon of his death, it is finished. In justice, the grave could not keep him. In justice, he must rise from the dead. Because of the wages of sin being death and him having paid all the wages, why then death could no longer hold him. Now, as he considered, perhaps, the persecution that he was to endure when he was praying about to choose his disciples. As he was considering the temptations that would come upon him when the people sought to make him king after he fed the 5,000. And as he considered the work before him that night and the day following when he was in Gethsemane. Surely, he thought, they draw near who follow after wickedness. They are far from your law. Even as he was in Gethsemane, you will remember that the mob sent by the high priest and the others was advancing toward the garden, led there by Judas himself. It may well be that our Jesus literally prayed this. But even as they drew near, although they were far from God, God was near as well, as we see in verse 151. And all God's commandments are truth. God brought them and blessed them in the life of his only begotten Son. And so, Jesus had promises. promises that we looked at some time ago in Isaiah 53, for example, promises that he would rise from the dead, promises that he would see his seed. Promises like that are what led him to pray, "Concerning your testimonies, I have known of old that you have founded them forever." There was no shaking them. He would go through the depths of judgment, through the depths of receiving his father's curse for the sins of all his people. But he would get through, he would be received, he would be with his beloved people, with his bride, restored, renewed, resurrected. It's because our Jesus went through all this. It is because our Jesus endured. And it is because our Jesus trusted in, through prayer, the promises of his Father, that we have firmly established the same hope. If we be in Jesus Christ, then every single promise made and every single assurance about prayer is ours, is yours, is mine. Let us then, as we approach our Father, do so with great assurance, knowing that our words go to him and he acts upon them in love, in favor, in grace, because our Lord Jesus has made that pathway by his life, death, and resurrection. Well, let's sing from Psalm 119, section Kof. Now, we're out of line because our alphabet isn't quite the same as the Hebrew. So in our psalm books, we're going to be using Psalm 119T. Ahem.